All right, everybody, welcome to the Inner Miami Show. I am one half of your hosting crew, and this is Mike Longan. And I am by myself today. Unfortunately for me, and fortunately for him, my boy Branton is currently at Disney World. So super excited for him. Jealous. If you guys are watching the show, you probably know I am a huge Disney fanatic, so definitely jealous that he is there today and I am not. That does mean, though, I get to rant. And so no one's holding me back today. I am going to get some good ranting in because, frankly, I think we got some stuff to talk about. So let's jump in. As usual, kind of just a reminder for those who've watched the show before, I am not good at running all the stuff by myself. I'm going to make a bunch of mistakes. I'm going to screw this up. By the way, we have my co-host has decided to join. Instead of actually being on the show, he is heckling. So we're going to have a heckler on the show today. So this is going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, let's jump in. So I forgot to make a slide, but I do want to talk about some season ticket news. So if you are a season ticket holder, you probably got a survey this week. I know I did. And it was kind of a nice survey because it started out, you know, talking about your relationship with your rep, which, frankly, I love my rep. I have Hunter. He's an awesome rep. Asking about some communication from the club. You know what? They do send us a lot of emails. I don't know if I always like what's in the emails, but they send it to us. But they failed to bring up all the stuff we haven't got. So in the section of where they said, do you have any more feedback? Mine started with, let's all discuss all the things that you've promised us and that we haven't gotten. So sounds like Joe did not get a survey. So I don't know if I was a special chosen few. Branton also did not get a survey. I don't know if I'm the chosen few that did, but I got to get a survey. So I made sure to include the fact that we have not gotten right of first refusal for CCC, a Merchandise Madness event, a preseason pub crawl, a preseason party. I feel like there was another one. Oh, ticket discounts for games. That's kind of my big one, actually. The fact that if you're a season ticket holder and you buy in, you know, on a presale, and then due to the magic that is Ticketmaster, they decide to go cheaper. My tickets don't get cheaper. So I made sure to bring that up. I don't know who will read it, though I've been told quite a few times they do read these things. So maybe someone will read it. No, don't know what will change. But so I did want to cover that before I get in. Let's see if I'm going to screw this up. Let's put my face. Nope, that's not the one I want. I guess we can do that. Yeah, we'll do that one. And I need my Branton. Branton's supposed to be running all this. I'm not good at it. Okay, cool. So let's jump into the next slide. So news. We've signed someone. And if you watched on Saturday, you already know this. Marcelo Wygant. Can't pronounce that. His nickname is Cello. Chilo, again, I'm probably butchering this, but we finally have a right back. And if you watched on Saturday, I think you probably saw that we do absolutely have a right back now. I won't say he played great. I think, you know, first he joined the team. 2 days later, he's on the pitch. But he's playing for us now. He joins us from Boca Juniors. He's represented Argentina at the U17, U20 levels. He did compete in the South American U17 championship game with the U20 team. At the 2019 FIFA World Cup, U19 World Cup. So let me be clear. The 2019 FIFA U20 World Cup. He wasn't on their senior squad yet. But this is a guy who's an up-and-comer in Argentina. He's coming over, and he's making an impact at right back. So I think that's huge. This is kind of that missing piece. This lets us finally start playing the four-man back line that apparently we want to play. I think there's been a lot of confusion from every single fan that pays attention to this club. If we're a five-man backline or four-man backline team, it does feel like Tata wants to play a four-man backline, except when he doesn't. So this is going to be a really integral piece. I think this is huge. Theoretically, this is the signing that makes this team. That our full squad with Marcelo on the pitch, like we're ready to go, we're ready to rock and roll. That being said, we also – hold on. Yep. We have a second signing today. So this was announced literally at a couple hours before a show. We had already prepped a script. We had prepped our visuals. And then Leo Alfonso, who's actually played two games for the team, But he was essentially an IMCF2 player that was on short-term loan, is now formally on the main squad. So Alfonso is a super draft signee. He was our number two pick, if I remember correctly. He's a forward. He's played two appearances for us. One thing that's really interesting here, beyond the fact that we signed another young guy that's going to make a difference, is according to Scotty Graves, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, someone I follow and interact with quite a bit, he pointed out that with this, we are actually now at full roster. So the Rojas signing that everyone has felt is imminent can't happen at the moment unless we drop another player. So I'm not saying Rojas won't happen. I don't think we can say that yet. But we can say that right now it can't. So some things have to move. Some more moves would have to happen. It does feel a little bit like whatever would happen with Rojas, it's not happening anymore. I mean, we've been talking about Rojas, I think, for like 8 episodes now. So kind of feels like there's a problem here. And that now we've gone and signed Alfonso instead. So definitely some interesting news. It's one of those things that kind of slip under the radar. Just, okay, we signed one of our young guys. But hitting that magic number 30, which is the max roster amount, it's kind of a big deal. So I guess we'll keep on listening. Just keep on seeing if anything changes there. But an interesting one. Lastly, on the roster, and this is another one that, as usual, the club didn't really talk a lot about. They did post a press release, but Federico Redondo, our new amazing, our fifth U22 DP, is injured for 8 weeks. So he has an injury. I wrote it down, and then I lost where I wrote it down. I think it's a left hamstring, though someone is going to, in the comments, will probably remind me if I'm getting this wrong. Oh, no, left ligament, LTL, LIL, something like that. He's down for 8 weeks, they're calling it. So, I mean, that's a pretty significant injury. This is a guy that we really were looking at to kind of solidify the backfield as a CDM, and he's going to be out for quite some time. He's definitely going to be out as we kind of walk into this Monterey game this week. So a fairly significant injury. Now, the team's known about this for over a week now, so they've had time to prepare for it. You know, and Tata, using his drawing board, has clearly been able to figure out what he's going to want to do. I don't know if us as fans are going to like whatever this answer is. But yeah, so Federico Dondo out. So yeah, that covers the news. Oh, Kromoski's back. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Joe and I were texting. Joe, Brent, and I were texting before the chatted. And our Benja Kromoski is going to be back in the lineup. So we don't know if we'll see him tomorrow, but that's some really good news. I think everyone that's been following Inter Miami is a fan of Benja, one of our young, bright stars. Picked up an injury when he was playing on the preseason practices, and now he's ready to play again. So I'm hoping we at least see him on the bench tomorrow and start seeing him get some playing time again when MLS resumes either next week for Colorado or the week after. So, yeah, exciting. So, cool. I miss Branton. Branton, I'm glad you're listening, but I miss having you here, man. I don't have the – it's even when I rant, it's not the same without you, your dirty looks to rant against. So let me start the rant. So for those who follow the show know that I was not on the last two shows. I was in Europe. I had the opportunity to see a Chelsea match in person. Super cool. It was my first experience of seeing a proper English match in England. I've seen them play in the US a few times, but the first time seeing this in England, super cool experience. So I missed the New York Red Bulls match. I won't say I missed that. And then the NYCFC match, I was frankly asleep when that happened. So by Branton's pointing out that Chelsea sucks. He's the unfortunate Liverpool fan. But yeah, so I'm just recognizing he said that, then we go away. So I missed this NYCFC game. Side note, so the game was playing at midnight in English time, and I was trying to sleep at that point, and all of a sudden my son's phone starts beeping, 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 and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I go check it, and it's the Inter Miami scores. I saw the first, I saw Suarez score, I saw we get scored on, and then stopped beeping, which was unfortunate. Man, Joe, people complain. All right, so anyway, before the game started, I did get a text from Branton that basically said along the lines of, you are going to love this lineup. And I don't think he was being serious, because this was a lineup that nobody expected. So let's start out with the easy one. Drake Callender and Nat, at least that made sense. And we got Alba and Chelo. I got to find out how to pronounce that correctly. Right and left back, that makes sense. Our center backs, and it's, by the way, it's a 4-3-3 for those not watching on the screen. Busquets and Saylor. I want to start out with, and this is where the ranting is really going to go into that. I want to start out with, there is no universe where this back line made sense. I don't care what injuries are going on. We've got Noah Allen on the bench. Noah has been playing center back basically since the season started. He could have played. He didn't play. We've got Toto on the bench. He actually came in later. He didn't play. You know, he wasn't a starter. So we start Sergio Busquets in the back. Now, where this also doesn't make sense is you could make the argument, no, we're trying to rest players, get ready for Wednesday night. And that's a completely legitimate argument. I think that makes a lot of sense, except Busquets, Suarez, Alba all playing, Gomez playing the full 90, Gressel playing the majority of the game. There was no resting here. This was the weirdest make no sense formation you can think of. So Ryan said, I don't want to be like a negative. Like if you put in Toto and Saylor, I think this is fine. Right? Like that makes all the sense in the world. We know Freire has some kind of injury. He, as far as I know, he wasn't even practicing today. Don't expect to see him tomorrow. Sorry, he was practicing today. Kristoff has a more serious injury. He's down for a little while. So like I get we'd see some rotation. I don't think that is unexpected. But putting Busquets as a center back where you are risking additional injuries, it makes no sense. Then we get to the midfield. And so, okay, Gomez, now we're putting him back in midfield instead of up top. Okay, Ruiz, fine. Bright, yeah, Yannick had some really great moments. Good to see him starting. I'm okay with that. But Gressel's now a right wing. Again, how does this make sense? How does this make sense at all? Like, what in what universe did this formation make any sense? Like, I don't know if we were trying to win. I don't know if we were trying to lose. I don't know if we were trying to rest players. This is essentially a worst of all worlds lineup. And guess what? It showed. We did not go out to win. The only reason we even get close in this match is A, NYCFC is not a good team this year, as much as the announcers want to pretend otherwise. And B, we have Luis Suarez, who is just he's everything you didn't think it was possible. And I know people like Branson believed he would do what he's doing, and power to you, but it was hard to believe he could be this good. He could have won, like he could have made this game a 4-1 game. Like he was out, he had 8 shots, multiple on net. The keeper for NYCFC just played out of his mind. He won MLS Man of the Match. What are they calling it? Team of the Week. He was Team of the Week, goalkeeper. I know Tata came out and said, called him Man of the Match. Luis Suarez made this a game. But if Suarez didn't play at the level he's currently playing at, we lose. And deservedly so. This made absolutely no sense. Steve Mono's opponent saying, despite the affirmation, Miami still had most of the regular stars and only did enough for a draw against the shit New York. It wasn't the regular stars because we played them in a funky lineup. The lineup made no sense. Our center, our back line, you know, Busquets, I know he switched to midfield later on in the game, but when you start him out as a center back, he's not able to influence the game. And you could see if there was the goal scored on us was directly attributed to Busquets playing center back, not having the communication at that point with Alba correctly. Like these are two guys that I know they know each other, but if you watch that game, and by the way, I never rewatch games. I never watch games like on tape. I hate doing it, but knowing that I was going to have to come on tonight, I made sure I watched the game, watched the highlights, and then watched the whole game. Like that goal was attributed to those two guys being out of sync. Like they both went for the same ball, both cold for it. Then they passed it weird. Like I know the guys in the field. Like the lineup from a personnel perspective wasn't horrible. I mean, you have about 6 guys in there that are on our top 11, but they were in the wrong positions. And I just, I've soured on Tata, no secret of that. And I'm still probably less sour than Branton is. This was an example in my eyes of, I don't understand what he's doing with this team. Like, without Messi, he seems just completely lost. He doesn't seem like he really wants to, like, manage this team. It's funny. Kind of going back to the game I was at Saturday. So I went to the Chelsea match Saturday, which was also another shit result. So Chelsea, in the 40th minute, Chelsea goes up 11 men to 10. Burnley takes a red card on a player and then takes a red card on their coach. So now Burnley's playing the next 50 minutes without a manager and without 11 men and still manage to keep the game a draw. Like, they played better than Chelsea and they didn't have a manager and Chelsea did. And I'm thinking to myself watching this game on repeat last night, I think we would have been better without a manager last night than with, or Saturday night with one, because this made no sense in the world. Like, I feel like if the players could have just sat there at halftime and talked on their own about how they really want to play this game, we would have had a better second half than anything that Tata put together. Like, it was just a complete shit show. But then, you know, we have Luis Suarez, who was just masterful. And you do, and this kind of going back to what my point is, you see the connection. Gressel is figuring out where to get that ball for Suarez. Like, when Gressel's able to play as a midfielder and as a delivery man, he's able to really deliver the ball at a great perspective. Chelo is going to work. Like, I'm not sure about that. I felt Alba was a little held back on Saturday night. He just didn't have what I usually have. And I think, again, I'm going back to this formation was complete shit. So now the good news would have been if we use this to rest our players in preparation for conceivably one of the largest matches, most important matches Inter Miami has ever played tomorrow night. But we didn't do that, right? Busquets went the full 90. Alba went the full 90. Suarez went the full 90. We had both Campana and Borjolin on the bench. They didn't see action. The subs we did see, we saw Alfonso come in as a forward, but still, he came in to replace Taylor. Like, this stuff makes absolutely no sense. I kind of want to keep on ranting, but I don't know what else to say about this lineup. Like, it was just complete shit. Like, it was shite, if I'm going to say it the way I learned to the number of people I heard that says Chelsea is shite on Saturday. Like, Inter Miami's Tata is shite. Like, it just made no sense whatsoever. I don't know. Any more comments on I'm watching, man, I really miss Brand. Reading the comments next to me. Steve Munoz, silver lining. Chelo seems like a capable RB, look like an upgrade to Yedlin. I gotta say, I don't know if you happen to see Yedlin's assist. I caught it. Someone sent me an assist, a backheel assist he had this weekend in Cincinnati. Was absolutely beautiful. Like, I'm still always a Yedlin stan, but it was a really great one. So yeah, let's finally get the right slide up there. So yeah, we tied him. Not a good result. Like, there's no way you can look at this. This was as winnable a match as you had. We were home. NYCFC is not a good team right now. Our players, if we had attempted to play them in any normal formation, we would have won. Or we could have rested. If we're going to get a draw, we could have rested players and played other guys in a normal formation. The rest, like Campana, and we know, Branton, you're not here, so you're going to really, I can't hear you hear this. Campana would have been a difference maker in this game. He could have come in and had a field day. He would have had no problems getting behind. We saw what Suarez was doing. Campana could have done the same thing, but except, you know, just been a taller man. And given Suarez a rest, I'm not knocking Suarez, but giving him more of a rest. No, we didn't do that. I think there's a lot that can happen tomorrow night against Monterrey. But if any of our guys looks tired, we're all going to point back at this game and say, what the hell? Like, it's the only kind of reason I can look at this and say this makes any sense is if Tata wanted to have an excuse ready why the Monterrey game doesn't go well. Like, oh yeah, our guys all played the night before. We were going for a win there. It's just You know, Joe's saying keep ranting, it's good for the shorts. I just don't know where to go with it, man. It's just this was just such a bad game. I mean, the good news is for Inter Miami, bad games still get us 1 point. But I don't know how many people have looked at the MLS soccer standings lately, but we're not in a great spot. So if you look at it at front, first, it looks great, right? Miami's in second place right now in the East. On Supporters Shield standings, we are in third place. Man, that looks great, right? Except almost every team's got a game in hand against us. Some teams have two. There's some teams that have only played five games. We've played seven. And if you do it at a point per game perspective, we are eighth in the East right now. You know, by the way, top nine make playoffs. So I know everyone said guaranteed we're going to make the playoffs. This isn't going to be a problem. And I'm not saying we should start getting nervous about that. But from an actual points per game perspective, we're in trouble right now. Like, we're only at 1.57 points per game. Let's see. I'm kind of doing it real quick. So Cincinnati's at 2 points per game. Columbus, 1.83. Atlanta, 1.8. Tie with Philly. Toronto, 1.67 points per game. Like, we're sitting right now with the DCs or the Montreals. This is where you start to kind of get concerned. Like, we have now played seven matches. So we're about 20% of the way through the season. Like, seven seems like a small amount, but when you're 20% of the way of the season, this name makes sense. It's a concern. So yeah, I just want to call that out. I was kind of like, it spooked me a little bit as I was prepping for the show that this is one of those things that if we don't start winning these easy games, this will haunt us in October. Because we got to remember, in September, like, we're going to be short players. In July, we're going to be short players June, for Copa, we're going to be short players. These are a game like Saturday night, we had to win. We needed those 3 points. This is a risk. So, Ash calling out, will Xavi Hernandez do a better job? I think he will. I am on the list of people who thinks Xavi's coming, that Tata's only here for a year and Xavi's going to take over. It does. If we make the run in CCC, I think that changes things, but I believe there's some truth to like those rumors coming out that some of the players are dissatisfied with the coaching. And sooner or later, we've seen our fan base will turn, especially if Messi's not playing, which let's kind of start getting into the Monterrey game. That we've got Monterrey tomorrow. The big question right now for everybody is will Messi get play? So I'm in Europe, happy as can be. I've just been thinking that Messi's just being rested, but now we're hearing more and more that this seems to be a real injury, that this isn't healing as fast as possible, that maybe Messi isn't in game shape. I know I talked to some people today, and by not club people, just like fellow fans, people starting to suspect Messi won't be a starter. Messi's going to come off the bench. This is going to be a concern. This is going to be scary. And I think when you start putting that against our coaching issues, Xavi is going to play. Going to coach. I just think that's going to happen. So, yeah. So anyway, so Monterrey, and I'm going a little fast tonight. I'm going a little faster than I want to be. You guys, this problem is there's a lot of chatting going on here, but it's kind of not going with what I'm saying. So let's kind of talk about Monterrey. I'm not going to go too much into Monterrey because I am not a Liga MX fan. Like, I don't watch any of it. I did watch Monterrey play Cincinnati, and I believe Cincinnati is a great club. I think Cincinnati has all the pieces to win MLS this year if they can kind of work their way through their schedule. I think they can get by Columbus this year too. Monterrey dismantled Cincinnati. It wasn't like one that 4-0 or 6-0 blowout of Philadelphia, but Monterrey was the better team on the pitch in both legs of their match against Cincinnati. So Monterrey won 0-1 at Cincy, and then they went to Monterrey, and Monterrey won again 2-1. So they won 3-1 on aggregate. They were the better team. Brandon Vasquez left Cincinnati and went to Monterrey, and he's been a scoring beast. Monterey is top of the table for in Liga MX. This is going to be the toughest opponent we've ever played in a competitive match in the four seasons that we've been a club. There's no comparison to a club, to a really a team like this. There's very few teams in MLS that at their best is as good as this team. And so now we've got to play them, and let's really call it out there. We may be playing them without Messi. And I think this is a hell of a situation we're going to find ourselves in, because Monterey's coming to win this match. Monterey's coming to win CCC. I've been saying it for a year now, for almost a year now. The Mexican teams did not like what happened in the League's Cup. They have been beating up on, you know, for the most part, they've been beating up on the MLS teams in this tournament. You know, Steve asked here, Mike, last I checked, at least 5,000 Monterey fans are showing up. You think they'll make more noise tomorrow? They're going to make a lot of noise tomorrow. Like, I fully expect it. I will throw out here, I am curious if we see illegal fireworks again. We have seen Central and South American teams get stuff into the stadium. We all know the security is not as good as it probably should be. So I think that this is going to be a fun match. It's going to be loud. I am going to be, shockingly, I will be in the north stand screaming with the supporters. So I'll be trying to drown out the Monterey fan base, but it's going to be loud on both sides. I think that's unfortunate part of CCC is these weekday games do not get the attendance. I was chatting with Joe earlier, and there's thousands of seats, looks like, available. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Ash asking here, so better than Al Nassr. So that's why I said this is going to be the hardest competitive match we've ever played. So, you know, preseason as or practice, as Branton likes to call it, it's not at Al Nassr when they're at their best. I think, you know, we didn't see them at their best. We weren't playing at our best. But this is a team that can compete. Is always one of the top teams in CONCACAF. It's a team that at the Club World Cup can be competitive. This is a competitive team. This is a really, really good team. You know, frankly speaking, if we have our full squad tomorrow, and I don't think we will, but if we had it and they have their full squad, this is possibly the best match you can get up in CONCACAF. Club America up kind of at that level too. But this is the match, right? Like this, if you said this was the CCC finals, no one would bat an eye. Everyone would go, yeah, no, that makes sense. That this is the kind of thing you'd expect. These are the teams that we want to send to Club World Cup. And yeah, like this is going to be real bad if we don't have our 4-11. So, you know, I was kind of thinking to myself, what happens, you know, what's my prediction? So Joe came out earlier, said we need to win by two tomorrow going into second leg in Mexico. With Messi in my head, like a 3-2 win is kind of where I'd see it, which is scary because for those who don't know, in CCC, the first tiebreaker and second leg ties is away goals. So, like, I could see them putting in one, if not two, on us. And then we'd be forced to really score more goals in Mexico. But, yeah, this is going to be a tough match. So, I've got it in my head, like, a 3-2 win with Messi, like, from the start. You know, 2-1 maybe win if he comes off the bench. If he doesn't play at all, I'm calling it a 2-1 loss. We haven't always played great without Messi. And I think even with Suarez, Alba, everyone else, without our superstar, it's going to be a real, real tough match. Branton thrown out there, he's saying 3-1 defeat. So Branton, I know, thinks Messi's coming off the bench. So I'm saying we can still win this if Messi off the bench at 2-1. Branton calling 3-1 defeat. Ash throwing out there, I think Inter Miami will be highly motivated from the start. I think they will be motivated. No, there's no question in the world the team is going to be motivated. I think the problem here is, let me see if I can kind of pull this up. See if Monterey, they're like a $60, $80 million team. Like, this is a team that spent big money. If you take Messi's salary off our team, we're like a $15 to $20 million team. Like, they just have more depth. They're they're better players. Like, a lot goes into this, right? Like, that's the problem with Liga MX versus MLS, is that they can build these bigger teams. And that's a problem. And so you have to come into this match with every one of your guys firing on all cylinders. And right now, I think it's easy to say we're not there. If Messi is injured, if this injury is legitimate, I mean, you could argue that Tata's trying to play mind games. We know he likes to play mind games. We know he likes to do that whole thing where the players don't come out. And I know what, Branton went on a rant agreeing with Taylor Twellman about the mind games he was trying to pull in the Red Bulls game, and we got our asses kicked. But I think this is something to be scared about. Where's it? Mike V showing up. Martino's going to put Busi at right wing and Cello at striker, then Gressel center back, Campana at goal. Okay, I will throw out Campana at least at goal. At least he's tall. Who was the man, the guy in AC Milan? Giroud, when he went into goal, actually stopped some goals. Like, Campana could stop some goals. That wouldn't be the worst one. I'm not sure Busi at right back or right wing. That would be dangerous. That'd be scary. Cello at striker. The guy's wiry, man. It might work. But yeah, that does feel like a Tata lineup. Joseph, we need to be spicy from the start. Their players have temper issues. Got to get some early. Yeah, frankly, our players have temper issues too. And this is CONCACAF. Just a reminder, this is CONCACAF reffing. A lot more can happen, right? Like, these matches are typically very loose. Lots of fouls, lots of chippiness. This is the kind of match where a guy like Gomez is going to take full advantage of that. Toto is going to play on the edge. Redondo, if he had been here, would be the same way. Busquets is going to be injured all night long because they're going to go after him, and he's going to feel it. What's Branton throwing out there? I don't think we have the talent on the back line to hold them scoreless, and clearly we're struggling in the attack. No, Redondo's going to hurt. And that's what I think. I no matter what, we will not hold anyone scoreless at this point, and definitely not Monterey. And Vasquez is just going to be hunting for goals. Like, he's got the taste of the net. He went to Monterey to prove something, and he's kind of proving it already. So I expect him to start, and I will be more shocked if he doesn't score at some point tomorrow night than he does. He's good, and there's a reason why Cincinnati got a whole bunch of money for him. Mike V, is it bad that I really want the team to win but want Martino to lose? For fuck's sake, it's an impossible choice. No, it's not bad. Listen, at the end of the day, if we win, we win. You could throw out there, if we win without Messi, it's going to actually be very, very, very impressive. But, man, I don't know, Mike. I don't know if you were listening at the start of my rant talking about this New York City NYCFC fuck up. But, yeah, no, Tata can do no right at this point in my mind, short of him taking it, actually putting out the roster when we're struggling, that makes sense and make it work. If Tata gets a red in the first 30 minutes. Yeah, no, that's my Chelsea reference, right? Like, Burnley had the red card in the 40th minute without their manager and did better and managed to do better the second half than the first with only 10 men. You know, sometimes the players on the field know more than the man, you know, can field out more than the manager. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Just need to get Tata out. Now, Brandon, Brandon's saying we just need to get Tata out. Unfortunately, Tata doesn't have a 19 or 20-year-old son to put on the pitch that would infuriate our SGs and scream nepotism. So it doesn't seem like it's as easy to get him out than our former manager. We'll match their CONCACAF by playing CONMEBOL. I don't know if we really have the players to do that. On paper, maybe, but I don't think we're quite where we want to be. So, yeah, I don't know much more to say about this. I am excited. I'm still super excited for this game. Like, if we talk about the most important matches we've ever played at home, obviously, I think number one still is the U.S. Open Cup final. I think a final at home will be the most important match we've played. The leg we had against Nashville. And then this, this over that one, because obviously it's the next round, quarterfinals. But this is a super important match. Frankly, as a team, we have to win it. Like, we have to win this tournament. Like, this, it's all in on this tournament. which goes back to why the hell did all of our main guys play full 90s? Why did we not make use of better subs? I still can't for the life of me figure out what happened on Saturday, and I think it's going to have a negative impact, even larger negative impact on what's going to happen tomorrow. So yeah, no, this is we've set ourselves up for failure right now, and I'm really hoping Suarez, like, and Suarez we trust, right? This game is going to, I think it's, if you're going to say the man, I'm losing, I have a sip of water. Hold on. So a lot of, it's been said many times about Busquets. If you watch Busquets, what did it say? If you watch Busquets, if you watch the game, you'll never see Busquets. If you watch Busquets, you'll see the whole game. That's what's been said about him. I think what's going to be happening here is watch Suarez and watch Alba. If they're going, if they're hot tomorrow night, this is going to work. If Suarez has an off game like he had Saturday, which frankly he had an off game, he played great. Like I'm not trying to be negative about him. Like he just had a little, his touch was just a touch off. Like he just wasn't getting past the keeper. But if he has a game like that, it's over. We're not winning this. If he has a game where he's just sliding it right past the keeper, he steps up into a big match and just kills it. It's gonna be a great time tomorrow night. I think Alba's the same way. If Alba can really contribute, like, it's going to be huge. If Alba's frustrated, if we have one of those matches where Alba's yelling at Tata, it's going to be a long night. Like, we're hitting the parking lot early. Joe's throwing out here, by the way, Mike needs a Roman Coke. I do. I'm really trying to go on a little bit of a detox after last week, so no Roman Cokes for me. Branton, Tata is his favorites. Unfortunately, if he doesn't like you, you aren't going to play. I mean, it's hard to argue that point right now, right? Like, again, we go look at what the hell happened on Saturday. Why didn't Noah Allen play? He was a favorite. Now he's not playing. That made no sense. Like, he's not – there's no consistencies for his actions beyond saying that he seems to be a very temperamental coach. You're hot or you're not, and he's going to play you or he's not going to play you. I have no idea what's going on there. Let's see. Ernesto Valverde, who Messi likes – this is Mike V. Messi likes and coached – Barca has contract working out June. Yeah, if we lose tomorrow night and we keep on struggling in MLS, it's clearly Tata's out. I know Branton will say that all we have to do is lose tomorrow night for Tata to be out. I think if we pick up the pieces in MLS and get ourselves into a good position, he'll be in. A huge factor here is also going to be Messi. If Messi's playing and the crowd's happy, And wins are coming, Tata will get a bye. If Messi's not playing, and you think about this. You think about this as a season ticket. I wanted to do the math. I haven't a chance yet. But I was trying to think of how many games, home, regular MLS matches, Messi's played so far. So let me double check. So right now we've had 4 matches at home. I want to say Messi's only played 2 of them so far. So, like, that's a problem as well. Oh, I have a guest host that wants to step in for a second. We're totally going off the rails now. Branton is not here.
Hi.
Here.
Hi.
We got a guest host. He's stopping by. We're being fully professional today.
What are you guys talking about?
All right. Go watch the show.
Okay. What is this?
So, Branton's saying not lose tomorrow, but if we lose this round, Tata's out. I don't think that's true necessarily. Again, it comes down to MLS, but I'm going back to where I was started before little TJ stopped in. TJ, Joe Kerr said hi. But before TJ jumped in, we're now out of a 17 game. Remember, we have a 17 game home. That's part of a season ticket package. Messi's missed half the games he could have played in so far. So I think that's going to factor in as well, because the natives are going to get restless. We're going to get restless by losses, and we're going to get restless if we win, but Messi's not there. So you got to keep the natives at bay, which means you better get wins, and they need to be fun wins and Suarez, driven wins and try to justify these huge ticket prices. So I do think if we get in a little bit of trouble on top of the CCC out, Tata's out. Like, I just don't think it's immediately like, okay, we get bounced from CCC. We made it to quarterfinals against, again, one of the best. And by the way, it also depends how we lose if we're going to get bounced out. If this is a close competitive match to the end, it's one thing. If it's a Philadelphia Union 6-0 drumming, Tata could be fired the next day. Like that won't be accepted, especially for the prices we're all paying for tickets. So I think this is a really tough one to just rant on your own about and try to talk to the comments being said. But America spanking New England early. Yeah, I forgot there's some matches going on. Let me New England, remember, New England's the only team that's beat a Mexican team so far in this competition. So it's interesting. Like, this is the chance really for us to show that we are able to be in this competition and that we can be competitive. The flip side is going to be that if we get spanked, to be at. So, all right, I'm done talking about Monterey. I did have one more thing I want to show, and I think this is a little bit of fun. So there was an announcement yesterday. Footy Headlines shared that there are some new Inter Miami shoes coming out. There's apparently two versions of these Sambas. One is a pink one with the Messi logo. It's pink, black on pink with the Messi logo. And the other is pink on black, but with the Inter Miami logo. I love the black shoes. I think it's awesome. First off, I can actually have a pair of Inter Miami shoes that I can use in the rain, which currently the togetherness shoes won't work. So I think those are awesome. And then on the flip side, I kind of hate the Messi shoes. I really don't like the fact that it's a pink and black shoe with Messi's logo on it. I kind of go back to some conversations we had, like episode one or episode two, that no player should be above the team, even Messi. My boy Brandon actually saying the same thing. Funny, I don't think we've actually discussed this. No player should be above the team. If Messi has his own shoe, absolutely, and quite obviously he does. He has basically his own line with Adidas. But if you're going to take on the team colors, it should be a team shoe. And so I wish these pink and black ones had the Inter Miami logo. I would have absolutely loved that. I would have bought them in a second, but with the Messi logo, no way. And everyone knows I will buy basically anything they slap an Inter Miami logo on. But no, those don't have it. They have a Messi logo. So, but I'm in for those black ones, at least two pairs. My wife is still pissed that she just found out that I bought three of the togetherness shoes. So I'll limit it to only two of these black and pink ones, but I think they're gorgeous. I think that's kind of, you know, it's such an easy shoe for them to make, and it's actually a shoe that we can really wear to the game. So I'm excited for them. I have no idea when they're going to be released. Frankly, now that I think about it, this could have been an April Fool's joke for all we know, because it was launched on April 1st. We haven't heard anything else about it, but I'm assuming they're real. But yeah, I'm excited for them. Yeah. Brandt is saying he'd be pissed too. They're horrible. I think about my together. No, I like my togetherness shoes. My wife was pissed I bought three, but I had reasons. One, they're gonna destroy in the rain. So I want one that can get damaged in the rain for games. One that I can just wear like for nice occasions where it's not gonna be raining. And a third as a backup to either the rain pair or to resell in a few years at a significant markup and help pay for my son's college fund. So yeah. They don't match, Brandon going, they don't match any of our pinks. None of our pinks match any of our pinks. We change pinks every year. We have multiple pinks a year, some years. Like there's no matching the pinks. I've moved on from that problem. I just accept that we'll have a new pink every year. And in 20 years, it's just going to be a beautiful rainbow of pink colors that you can like make a really nice closet. If you look at the clue, by the way, for the team, if you look at the training center, it's got like all these gray and black bricks. They don't quite match. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be like the pinks. Just all kind of looking there. 40 shades of pink. Yeah, I think that works because we've got, if you're a Inter Miami fan, you're all about suffering pain. So yeah, no, I think that works out pretty well. So yeah, wow. All of a sudden I went from 24 minutes in to 45 minutes in, and I don't think I've said anything of relevance the entire time. So, I'm seeing some live scores. Columbus just tied it up 1-1. We are in full CCC swing. So a reminder, kind of let the crowd throw out some more comments and questions here. Games at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I think the green lot opens, or the lots open around 5 o'clock. I'm going to be hopefully there around, what time are we going to be? I'm going to get there around 6:30. I think it's just me and Tej. We're going to be in the supporter section tomorrow. I actually do go to the supporter section. Side note and additional rant. It's no secret I'm in the Northwest Club. I've been there since day one. I did Chelsea's version of the Northwest Club. Like, yet again, to see the difference for less money of what you get at an English football stadium. You know, the joke has always been like, I want a prawn sandwich and stuff. That's what I expect Northwest. That's basically what you got at the Chelsea Stadium, like plated meals, stuff. It was one of the cool experiences I've ever had, but it was cheaper than what I'm paying at Inter Miami for less of a product. Anyway, that's a rant. I need Branton here to really get into. And plus I sound super spoiled and horrible. But yeah, it's just another reminder about how English football teams with real legacies, with real history, understand how to respect and treat their fans. And even if you're going to give them if you're going to charge them a higher price, you're giving them the subsequent value that Inter Miami has not figured out. Brant, yeah, man, you're not here, so I can keep on talking about Chelsea all I want. Like, I can just change the colors of our back. Oh man, I should have done that. This was my opportunity to make the entire thing blue and white. Oh, that was tough. Joker, what went over better in Europe, Capri or Cargo? Capri Cargos. First off, Cargos were everywhere in Europe. Like any store we walked into, cargo pants, cargo pockets are in. For all the other dads out there, like, the time of our lives is now. Cargos are back. You can wear cargos. Messi wears cargos. Cargo capris, cargo shorts, cargo pants. Cargo pockets on top of cargo pockets is in. I saw it in Paris. Like, this is our time. It is the time of the cargos, people. Be excited. What do you put on your prawn sandwich, Mike? Little dressing. Light toast point. You don't want to overpower the flavor. A touch of lemon is what I put on my prawn sandwiches. I went to the QPR stand and I had the most pies, bro. Awesome. So, okay. I'm going to go down this path. People can hate me, but maybe Mike V at least will appreciate it. So it was called the 1905 Club of Chelsea. It's their version of Northwest Club. Now, you went to it before the game and after, which I got to talk about. During the game, you don't have a club. You know, anyone who's been to an English football game knows you actually can't drink at your seats. You can drink in the concourse. So get there pre-match. They serve us a four-course seated meal. Like, you sat down, proper silverware, unlimited beer, wine, and alcohol. We don't get that in Northwest Club. We're having this meal. My wife and I were talking to an awesome dude from Scotland who's a huge Rangers fan. We're just chatting. We're talking about Lewis Morgan. Trying to find the kind of what's going on with Scottish people. And as the meal's kind of wrapping up, with about 30 minutes of game time, my wonderful server waitress comes to me and goes, "Sir, what would you like to have us have waiting for you at full time?" I'm like, "What do you mean by this?" And she goes, "Well, after the match and you come back here, we'll have drinks waiting for you to drink for the next hour. We're open for an hour. So come back after the match. Sit back down. There's a amazing tandoori meat pie and a cheese and rum and cokes waiting for me." Like, can I just say, if the Northwest Club had this, most of my bitching would end. Like, we get shut off and cut down. You know, 70th minute is the last minute for game time, and then you can go pay to buy more drinks in the Northwest Club afterwards. No, in England, they're having you prepared. It was the most amazing thing. Lewis Morgan played for Brandon saying Lewis Morgan plays for, yeah, I know, but the guy still knew who Lewis Morgan was. And I'm talking to some random dude from Scotland. Like, I had talking to him about Messi wasn't going to work, but we talked about Lewis Morgan, and TJ was excited to talk to a guy with a Scottish accent about Lewis Morgan. He felt very much at home. Did Trump bring up any of his lawsuits when you're sitting next to him, for fuck's sake? No, moving on from this one, Joe. No, I'm not getting into that one. They did not have caviar, though. I didn't pay for the sit next to the American owner of Chelsea package. TJ was upset that I didn't, because he might have gotten to meet a player, but that didn't happen. So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Brant is saying he's not going to pay for another match. I guess he's not. Brandon's not going to be here tomorrow, though. Technically, I think he's still in Disney World, so he's saying that he won't pay for it. But honestly, he's at the happiest place on earth. He's having an awesome time. Branton, we didn't discuss. Did you get to take your son on his first roller coaster today? I know I hadn't talked to you, and you were going to do it. Did it happen, man? I'm going to give him a second to respond. His oldest was supposed to do his first roller coaster today, and I was kind of curious if that happened or not. Now I got to realize there's a lag, so he's going to take a second to respond back on that one. But I hope he did. There's some really great like entry level roller coasters at Magic Kingdom. If anyone's got kids, that I definitely recommend. Mike V kind of interjecting, slamming beers every time there's a strong foul because it gave me 5 minutes to go get it, drink it, and get back. Yeah. Oh, Brand, I'm sorry to hear that. Lions were 9 minutes long for us. All right, well, he'll get his chance eventually. Or you can do it my way and just buy the Lightning Lane. It's an option. So, all right, I think I'm going to wrap this up. This went way longer than I thought. I can't believe this minute you guys are still listening to me. I apologize. You know, we're going to be back to normal pretty soon. We are going on Friday. I think it's going to be 9 p.m. Let me just double check that time we're going. So Friday, we are going at 9 p.m. I haven't told my wife that yet, that I guess Friday night I'm going to be recording. But Branson and I will be back together, hopefully. Truly, God willing, we will be talking about a Inter Miami win with a couple Suarez goals, maybe even a Messi goal. Right, I'll interject here, Mike V. I'm not paying for anything other than my tickets, so I'm happy the last season tickets payments come up. So we had this argument last game about giving money to club. This is one of the reasons I went back to the supporters section. I'm not giving them as much money. It's kind of my all right, I'm gonna give you some money because I want to support the boys, but I can't give you this insane amount of money anymore. So everyone has the line differently, but yeah, we'll go. So all right, anyway, back to it. Kind of hide that one again. Hide that one. So yeah, 9 p.m. I hope it's a better show, because I don't think this was one of my best, but I appreciate you guys all hanging out with me. So I am going to wrap it up. Let me remember how to do that. And I appreciate you guys all listening. Don't forget, if you like this, like and subscribe. If you didn't like this, comment. Tell us how much you didn't like it and why I shouldn't be allowed to do a show on my own anymore. And also like and subscribe so you can hear that we've gotten better. And yeah, let's go into Miami. Let's get a win tomorrow night, no matter what happens. And maybe we can get a win and still get Tata fired. Like, we can hope for the best case scenario. So thank you all so much. And you all have an awesome night. And let's go Inter.